and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters, day 331. I'd love to know if there's anybody there. If I can fix the chat, it'll be fine. You see, this is what happens when you lose me to my own devices. And you know, it was working wonderfully not 2 minutes ago. Right. Let's take the ticks out of the boxes this time and see if that works. Oh, nothing like a smooth entry to the show, is there? Anyway, hopefully at some point you'll be able to see the chat. And, oh, hello, Jonathan. That was fast. Amazing. Right, well, that one worked. Okay, that was me, hoisted by my own petard. Logged in, saw this option. Oh, I thought, that'll save time, I thought. Don't ever tinker 2 minutes before you're going live. Yes, I know I should know that, and you know I should know that, but, you know, left to my own devices. Well, apart from Lola, she's here, aren't you, girl? Not saying anything, but she is. I am not alone. Excellent. That is good news, Jonathan. Hello, Tracy. What was happening with the chat? I was playing with your collective mind. That was what was wrong with the chat. Nothing. It's there. Just a little later than it should have been. Because I found a new option. Leave it alone, woman. I'll play later. Who was first? Jonathan was first. I would have been first if I hadn't have been playing around, but I decided I would take a step back and see what happened. And young Jonathan sprang in there. So there he was. Excellent. How has everybody's day been? We have had snow. That is always a good day. Not enough snow, but any snow is welcome. Open the back door for Lola, who had no idea we'd had snow. Little face lit up like a bulb and off she went. She likes to eat it. She also likes to eat biscuits. To the degree that I have had to decant the biscuits into our little freezer bag thing that we have in the office to keep things cool. I can hear what you're up to, you know. I'll tell them and then you'll be in big trouble. Trying to clean her feet. This is because she went to the park. Her favourite park. Which is further away from home. There's Tracy refreshing like mad since 2 minutes to. I was playing around at 2 minutes to, trying to get it to work as well. Anyway, it's there now. And the day's right and everything. Ooh, time for a party. Hello, Paul. We've been told today, what is it? About £1,300 for this quarantine business. Now we finally got round to it, you know, 11 months later. People are saying we should have done what Australia did. So glory for Australia there, I feel. But they're arguing amongst themselves again. Yeah, their lips are moving, thus they are arguing. So there you go. Ooh, Jonathan wanted to kill a client. I think I could possibly get you off with that. 12 months integrating with an SSO provider, only for them to say in 8 months' time they might have to move to a different one. Would that be an issue? Clients can't live without them, can't shoot them. Yeah, feel your pain, Jonathan. You need to go back and say, no, that wouldn't be an issue at all. We'll just add on here another 60% to do it. And then they'll realise how much of an issue that actually is. Do you know, clients shouldn't be left to their own devices. In fact, clients should be like children, seen and not heard. Oh, and pay the bill. Seen, not heard, and pay the bill. And then that would be fine. Totally fine. I've said they'll need to put you on suicide watch to entertain the idea. No, they couldn't do that, could they, Jonathan? That would be seriously bad news. No, no, naughty, naughty, naughty. SSO single sign-on. An expensive version of 1Password. Have you thought of asking 1Password to rebrand themselves? Give you a white label version for the branding of? That'd be rather cool, wouldn't it? Here it has been a busy day. Managed to feel a little bit better this morning than I did yesterday. Oh, the headache lasted all day. By taking some headache pills before I started. Got better sleep than the night before. Madam still had the majority of the bed. Don't know how she does it. But she's so adorable. You don't like to stop her. Got unceremoniously woken up. I don't know what Mike was thinking. It was 20 to 9. 20 to 9. They weren't starting till 9. It's another 20 minutes, Mike. I think he wanted to know if I wanted breakfast, but I couldn't face breakfast. So I didn't bother with breakfast. Then we had our four-hour Excel session, which was very, very good. So I think we had a couple of breaks in that, but not as long as yesterday's breaks. And he broke much later today. And he'd been going on for about an hour and 40. And Mike said, everyone's flagging, look at them. And I said, makes me wonder about the 5 hour after hours. But no one seems to flag. Do we need breaks in after hours? I mean, we haven't got time for breaks, really, have we? We're having too much fun. It's more trouble than he's worth. Well, there is that, isn't there, Jonathan? I must admit, I steer away from all of that kind of stuff. You know, this login with something else and all of that. Don't bother with it. So that was the morning. The afternoon was big mistake in the afternoon. Not quite as big as the client's mistake with Jonathan. You know that thing where it says there's an update out for your computer and you fall for it? The whole thing was backed up last night, so that wasn't an issue. So I've got an SSD with a complete backup on. So I thought, how long can it take? Well, let's just say I'm glad I started at 4 o'clock and not 6 o'clock. You know, when you've got Apple Minutes on there and it says like 46 of them and 3 hours later. Yeah, that. It was the update, the latest Catalina security update. So that went on, which had an unintended consequence that one of my applications that hadn't been working at all is now working perfectly. I thought, I'll just give it a go, you know, more in hope than expectation. And it worked. So I'm stood there like incredulous at that. So that was rather good. Then Madam went out, had an absolute ball, then returned, consumed her dinner in literally 2 minutes, if that. Then we all marauded round the garden until she was exhausted, which was fine. She was exhausted, but she seems to have got a second wind now and is now sat behind me thumping the chair. It's bizarre. She has taken, like, for a couple of weeks, it was like, no, I don't want to go in there. Don't want to be upstairs. Want to be downstairs. I'm like, it's cold, Lola. No, want to be downstairs. So downstairs she was. But in the last, probably since Friday, Saturday, she's been up here. All the time. And she sat next to me. And Mike's like, you know, come to me. Doesn't want to know at the minute. Last week, she didn't want to know me. So she sat right next to me. And I've got a chair from IKEA, one of the Marcus chairs. So there's like an arm on it. She snuggled right up to it. And then she lifts her head. So points her nose skyward and heads butts me. And then I have to pet her. And if I stop petting her, then I get head butted again. It's too cute. She's never done that in the 18 months and beyond when we had her infrequently. Never done that. Just taken to doing it this week. There you go. Piddle Pooch. Piddle Pooch woofs. Everything done less time than it takes to wash his hands. The thing is, you know, Maya was like that. And they said that once they got to an age, you know how a dog would have its bowl on the floor? That you could do with lifting the bowl so it doesn't affect their digestive system. So we put Mayers on a little stool. Then the thing was, as they get older, they need to eat slower or they get like wind and then they get hiccups. It's like having a baby. So we started doing that with Maya by hand feeding him. But Lola just kind of inhales it. So we'll have to try and slow her down somehow. They do say if you put two tennis balls in the dinner with them, it slows them down. And I just think, what must the dogs think when two tennis balls appear in their bowl with their food? And they have to, like, nudge the balls out of the way to eat it. They probably think their humans are absolutely barking. We haven't tried that with Lola yet. She has a smaller bowl than Maya did. Maya's was quite a big bowl, but then something was said the other day. We were ordering wormers. And Mike said, I don't think we wormed Maya as much as we worm Lola. And I said, well, I'm not surprised. I said, Mayor didn't need worming, did he? And Mike went, well, why not? I said, because he didn't have dog food. You know, Mum made him fresh liver all the time. Cost us an absolute fortune, and the humiliation in the supermarkets trying to buy liver. That was when I did the Hannibal Lecter impersonation, when she said, you like your liver, don't you? And I kind of nibbled and said, yeah, raw. And she was petrified. Oh, dear. Piddle Pooch would just pick them up and remove them. I think Lola would. No, Lola wouldn't eat the balls. I think she'd just look at you as though we were absolutely mad. She might knock one out. I don't see Lola actually picking one up and taking it out. That's not her style. What are you doing there? Where are you now? Crying out loud. Trying to keep track of you. Oh, she spotted chicken, that's it. She fell over on chicken before. She was sleeping peacefully upside down, legs akimbo, and then rolled slightly and chicken squeaked, and that was the end of that. Oh, dear, dear me. Anyway, that was today's adventures with Lola. She is too cute. Just too, too cute. I inadvertently saw a video. I say inadvertent. It was recommended on YouTube, and then before I know it, they've changed the button. I don't know if anybody's noticed. There was a button, an autoplay button, and the autoplay button used to actually say autoplay, and then it had a slider. And it was over the list of recommended videos on the right-hand side. And it's vanished. It has reappeared on the bottom edge, next to the cog that says HD. And now it doesn't tell you what it is unless you can hover for long enough that it would actually tell you. In fact, is it telling me? Oh, yeah, it says autoplay is off. Only it wasn't. It was on because I didn't know what the button was and I inadvertently clicked it. Which, in turn, got me involved in this video. Good evening, Simon. And this video was from the BBC, and it was from a youngish-ish girl who... I know, what was the reason she'd done it? She had a breakup with somebody, and she decided for her mental health it would probably be wise to come off social for a while. So she did. And she actually enjoyed being off social, so she deleted all the socials. Could you live without your socials? And which socials would those be? Pinterest, I can't fathom. I mean, I technically know what it does, but I couldn't be less interested. It seems to be people make pinnable images and then those images get pinned. Great. But if you're looking on Pinterest and you go by subject and you click on them, you'll have to kiss many a frog before there's a prince. Let's put it like that. Because most of them are clicking through to promotional stuff. So Pinterest, I do not get at all. Kim could live without all of them. Good evening, Kim. Oh, how's the impeachment going? I'm totally confused with it all now. I know the basics of who's doing what, but... it just all seems very bizarre. So let us know how that's all going. What else was there? Twitter is interesting. I haven't installed Tweetbot. This is nothing to do with the subscription thing. I just chose not to install Tweetbot when I installed the new Mac. So I can get to Twitter, obviously, through the browser. Oh, don't do that. Good grief. I know it's a while since I've looked at Twitter in a browser, but never again. Let's just leave it right there. Never again. There was ads. There was bizarre stream thing that it wasn't in the right order. Oh, it was just insanity. So I left that alone. Facebook, I could probably live without permanently, to be honest. I kind of go on and have a look, but Facebook annoys me because it shows you what it thinks you want to see. So there might be something there that would be fascinating, but you wouldn't get to see it because Facebook didn't show it to you. So the Munich thing, for example, we're getting people putting likes on the Munich thing like 4 or 5 days after. And they said like, oh, I didn't see this until now. What are you doing? Now we're cleaning our front paws, having cleaned the back ones. Good night, Jonathan. Where does the time go? SSO, Jonathan. SSO. Hello, Paul. One in, one out. So what else is the social wise? Instagram, I can see Instagram, but you know, it tends to be pictures and I'm like, I haven't got the time. I haven't got the time. You can, if you can't post in a browser, which I know there are workarounds, but you know, then it's not happening. It's not. So I reckon I could. What gets me is the way that they interviewed people on the street. And one woman said like, oh yes, I go on every day, but only really to have a nosy and I could live without it. I thought that was so honest. But other people were saying like that they like to be in the moment. And therefore, if they are somewhere and the people who are with them, so this person has put their phone away, but the people they're with have not put their phone away, then they feel like that they're not being paid attention. And we got that a lot at Catinian Do's. But our argument was, we don't distinguish between, because the Catinians have this thing, your real friends. Catinians are your real friends. And I said to Mike, what are they? Five? Real friends, fake friends, online friends. What? A friend is a friend is a friend, no matter how, you know, where you met them, how ludicrous. And so I said, I don't distinguish between, oh, you know, we've gone to a Catinian Do, look at the tables, they look amazing. I'll take a picture and I'll put it on Slack and I'll share it with you guys in real time. Because I'm not making a distinction between you and then the person that stood next to me. Friend is a friend is a friend. But the friend that stood with you really objects to the fact that you have other friends, like a 2-year-old. So, yeah, we have been told, like, you know, it's incredibly rude to have your phone on the table, turned off, upside down, notifications off, on silent. It's rude to have it on the table. And I just like, what's it got to do with you? I don't stop you doing whatever you want. There was one we went to. It was about just over a year ago. And we wandered in and this guy flew over and said, it's a device-free night. And I looked and I thought, well, fine, if you want to be device-free, that's up to you. But I'm not being device-free. And I made the point to him, Mike just looked at me and we nodded and went, yeah, whatever. And I do find that incredibly rude. That is as rude in the other way. I said, what if you've got a sick mother at home? What if you've got a child? I said, what if you're doing what we're doing, which is keeping an eye on the dog? So Lola was at home and we'd gone probably about 25 miles. You know, the first sign of trouble on, I mean, we've got like 10 cameras, I think. I said, then we're off. I said, how can you do that if you can't turn your device on? Just bizarre. Oh, have I looked at Clubhouse Social Network? I did because Rome have moved on there. So I haven't taken a deep dive on it, but they looked at all of them and ruled Slack out quite early, to be honest. So we'll have to give Clubhouse a detailed look, won't we, in case it would be a good idea to move. Have you had a look at it, Paul? Like it? Loathe it? Intending to have a look at it? Kim Hayes, the way Facebook is organised, always seems to decide what it wants me to see, no matter how many times I put show me the most recent. I do that. I just want it in time order. That's it. Don't show me anything else. Just time order. Never sticks. Always takes me back to the algorithm. And sometimes it shows me the same post like 3 and 4 times. And I'm like, what is the point in that? Now, another culprit for that, although I don't personally think of YouTube as social media, you'll watch a video, you know, how to fix your washing machine, and then you'll need it. You'll see that shown to you about 9 times, and you're like, well, I've fixed it now. I guess it's because certain people watch videos like concerts, and you may well want to watch a concert or a music video twice. But the odds are, if you've watched something that's a story or a news piece, you probably don't. But YouTube doesn't get that. You can click on it and say, don't show me this again. And then it asks you to tell them why. There's only 2 options. One is, I don't like this video. And another is, I've already watched it. And I thought, you know, what if they flag something up like Facebook did once to this woman? This woman had announced on Facebook she was pregnant. So it started showing her things for the baby. Lola, shift over here. Come on, this way. This way, sit down, settle. Good girl. And she lost the baby. And it still was saying, you know, your due date is coming up. So she complained and eventually did sort it out. But not before she'd been seeing things for like nappies and stuff. So I think on YouTube, a video could come up and it might just be a trigger for you. So one of these options, you know, I don't like this video. That doesn't really tell them why you don't like the video. So all they could do with the information of I don't like this video is not show you that particular video again. But it'd be good to say, if there was another option underneath, which is, you know, this is a sensitive subject for me, in which case they would then have that knowledge not to show you similar videos, which they don't at the moment. So it's very hit and miss, isn't it? Hello, Anthony. We're talking socials. Could you live without your socials? You need an invitation. Now, to get the app downloaded, you can't use it until you get invited. Oh, not that thing. Is that not old these days? That sounds like Google Wave. And by the time everybody's got it, nobody wants it. Oh, we're turning the clock back to about 2011, are we? So Kim hates it when she's out to lunch with a friend and they can't stay off the phone while you're together. You assume they really don't want to spend time with you. The emergencies are excusable. Depends what they're doing, I guess. I mean, some people are obsessed. Oh, Paul, that's so funny. You are my social Elaine. Well, at least I'm more understandable on Facebook. There you go. I get where you're coming from, Kim. I just think with me, if I was on the phone, I could understand. But just having it next to me on the basis that when there is a lull in conversation or I deem it wise to check what Lola's up to, then I will. But I wouldn't interrupt somebody to say, excuse me, you know, got to take a selfie. I have seen people do that. But there was one event. I think, now, what on earth was the event? It was a Catenian do of some description, but I can't remember what. And my phone was on the table. It was face down. And one of the elders of the Catenians popped round and kind of, not exactly hit me on the head, but, you know, like a waft of the hand on the head. That shouldn't be on the table. I thought, what? Really? Seriously, what has he got to do with you? And it was, like I say, it was upside down. It would make zero difference if it was in my bag because I've got an Apple Watch on. So whether I want to have a conversation with somebody or get my notifications or even, you know, dictate a tweet to Twitter, I could do it all anyway. So a little bit silly and certainly nothing to do with him. He wasn't even sat on the same table we were. But yes, I'm beginning to think I could do without the socials. I was getting notifications the other day about something and I thought, you know what, I'm going to turn that off. But they were including in the socials WhatsApp. And I just don't think of WhatsApp as being a social app. Do you guys? To me, it's like texting and a phone call. It's not Twitter. It's not Facebook. Maybe I'm doing it all wrong. Maybe I am a Johnny Got No Mates and they're not in WhatsApp. But there you go. Baby issue I mentioned, so it was a lack of depth thinking about the consequences of what they program. What are you doing now? Oh, will you settle down? Why is she giddy at 7 o'clock? Have you noticed that? She is giddy at 7 o'clock. She was yesterday. Well, by 8 o'clock, she's out like a light. Right. Reminds you of when Google would offer shopping tips for things closest to whatever you search for, leading to results like best deals on black people in the UK. That is shocking, Simon. I just think they could be, particularly with things like, I mean, it's not just babies where they're lost before they're born. You know, people have bereavements and stuff. And Facebook, I mean, Facebook is still telling me when it's Bob de Grand's birthday. And Bob de Grand, lovely bloke, been dead 8 years. And, you know, his face pops up and he says, wish Bob de Grand a happy birthday. And it really upsets you. Last year, that the exact same thing happened. And, you know, in hindsight, I mean, if you look at it in this way, it's humorous. And I said to Mike, oh, my God, look what's happened. So Facebook reminds everybody it's Bob de Grand's birthday. And one of our shared friends, who is another podcaster, well, was a podcaster, given up his podcast many years ago, said, happy birthday, Bob. Not heard from you for a while. How are you doing? Well, the rest of us were like, oh, no. And somebody went back to him and said, you know, you're clearly unaware, but Bob died. And this guy comes back with absolutely mortified. Wish you would be, wouldn't you? So Facebook, no, they're not intelligent. I mean, if Bob's not posted in 8 years, it's likely that Bob's... Don't be telling people it's Bob's birthday, put it like that. But they do. And every year it catches somebody out. It's just a case of who it's going to be this year. Anthony's never been able to understand the whole selfie thing, but then you don't like having your photo taken anyway. I don't do selfies. The only selfies I've ever taken, and they were a bit tricky. They were definitely tricky selfies, was when I'd had my teeth out ready for the implants. And he said, keep an eye on it, and if there's any problem, let me know. So I thought, well, we'll need photos of the starting point. Well, you should have seen me trying to take them. And I don't know if you know, but on the iPhone, there's an album for selfies. Do not look at mine. There's only Kim would enjoy them. There's hundreds of them over the course of about 3 weeks till it was all sorted. I would say, you know, right at that point, I can stop taking pictures of them. No, I don't get selfies. The one time I saw some, I mean, I've seen selfies that look like what I'm about to describe, but I've never actually seen them taken, if you're with me. You only see the result, you see the photo. And it was some young girls, they were probably about 13, 14, and they're at the 80s Fest, obviously not last year, the year before. And they were stretched out in front of us. We were in the stand out of the sun. You know what I'm like, a vampire. Don't do sun. So they were down below and you could really see them. And they were holding the camera as far away as they could possibly get. And then deliberately doing the trout pout. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, do you know what you look like? And also fake, like big trout pout look on their face. And then the minute that they'd taken it, then they go back to being normal again. But they're sucking their chest in, they're doing the lip thing, they're pouting out at a certain angle. Oh, good grief. I thought, if that's what you look like when you're taking a selfie, don't ever get caught taking one because it's not pretty. Oh. Anthony agrees it's a messenger app. Yeah, I just think of that as text. I don't think of it as a social at all. I guess you could have a group, like we have a Catenian group and we have the Brooklands one. But, you know, it's fairly quiet, the Brooklands one, except on a Saturday night when it explodes. But I still don't think of it as social. I just think of it as like... a communications channel that's there. But, you know, it could just as easily be on the website. The only reason that we created that group, it was just historic. Otherwise, the chat would be like it is here on MacBytes. The reason was we were doing this as a one-off. We were doing Brooklands by request as a one-off, as the end-of-year party. And it went so well that Peter, who sadly has subsequently died, wanted one for Province. So we did a by request for Province. And the week that we'd done it for Brooklands, the chat on the standard Brooklands group exploded. People got up the next morning and said, we've had 690 messages overnight. Oh, dear. That was frightening, wasn't it, Lola? That was a fire engine. It's all right. It didn't have the blues and twos on it. It's fine. So I said to Mike, we'd have to take this chat off here and put it in its own group. So we did. And that's why we've got the Brooklands 196 by request group rather than the Central Catanian group. But what happened that weekend was people were sending photographs. And some of them have absolutely no clue how to send a photo to something like Cloud App or Droplr, Jump, and share it. They have no idea. The only thing they could do is share it to WhatsApp on their phone. So that's what we decided to do. That way it would be free for everybody. And if they wanted to send photos, then they can. And sometimes we do send photos on a Saturday night, sometimes more than others. But if we want to get that to the Brooklands chat, then really there's only Mike and I that could send an image, because the others, like Kath, wouldn't know how to get that shared. But other than that, no, I don't think of that as social at all. Simon doesn't get the selfie thing either. Narcissists. They're just weird. They're weird people. So Anthony has WhatsApp on his Mac, and it's useful when your friends who use Android want to send images. Yeah, images I can understand. I only got it. I did not have WhatsApp. I was forced into it. I didn't have WhatsApp. I had no need for it. But the priest is on Android. And a few years ago, there was, he used to be a missionary priest in Peru, like Paddington Bear. And this village where he used to live, he lived there for 10 years, so he's got lots of friends there. And there was really bad flooding, and I mean really bad. You know the ones where you've got cars being swept away down the street, like that. And they did not have anything, nothing to their name, not even a toilet roll. And one of the guys there had sent him some photos of it, and he wanted to send them on to me so I could put them on the website and we could put the call out, basically. Can you donate some money? So he said, I'll WhatsApp them to you. And I thought, oh, good grief, I've not got WhatsApp. So I thought about it. I thought, there isn't another way that he could get them to me. You know, iMessage wasn't going to work because he was on Android. So I said, you said, like, what's your name, handle, whatever you want to call it, on WhatsApp? I said, just a minute, you'll have to let me create an account. And that was the day that I set it up, which I guess was just as well, because after that came the Catanian groups and all the rest of it. But I still don't think of it as social. It's literally like, I mean, it was annoying me so much. I was getting so many messages from the main Catanian group one week. They just seem to, it's become a place where they find a meme about COVID and it's straight in the group. And my watch was buzzing like crazy, and I never turned the notifications on there, but I sure found a way to turn them off. So I do not like to think of that as social, but if I think about how they use it, I guess it is. And I could definitely live without it during the week, and I certainly don't want notifications of it. But it is handy for people to transfer audio and video to you. I'll give it that. So people went to town taking screen captures on Google results. I can only imagine the trouble that Google got into with that. And Kim doesn't use Facebook except for genealogy research. Is it useful for that? Is it groups that you go into, or are you actually looking for individual people? I obviously haven't done the genealogy group thing, but I have thought, like, oh, X from school, are they on Facebook? Because that's what you used to use. What was that other one called? Oh, the one based on, like, what school you went to. Name of which totally escapes me. Oh, Friendly United. No, I never did that. I hated school with a passion that knew no bounds. So there was no point registering, was there? Oh, hi! No, leave it alone. So I never did register on that. Mike did, I think. Oh, Paul, that's awful. Your sister-in-law who's passed, it's weird. It feels really wrong. I mean, I know one thing Facebook could do is make it that once a year, like a month before your birthday, they ping you and ask you to confirm you're still active on Facebook if there have been no posts from you. Now, that's not beyond their capabilities. Not technically, it's not. But it would be a bit like a dead man's handle, literally. And the thing is, they would then have to mark that account as inactive and not send the birthday thing out. They probably would think they would lose people. But the thing is, these people have already gone. And all it does is upset other people and makes work for Facebook. When if a message goes out about somebody who has died and you know, their birthday, instead of Facebook sending them a message before it happens and just automatically not sending any more if they don't hear from the person, now they've got to deal with 50 people who have got in touch with Facebook to say, do you not know this person's dead? And Facebook won't take their word for it because, you know, anybody could say somebody's dead on Facebook. So then they need a death certificate and all kinds of stuff to close it down. Now, there is the option to memorialise a page, but again, they need a death certificate. I don't think that's top of people's minds when a loved one's died. Oh, I must get a death certificate for Facebook to memorialise the page. And there's a lot of people wouldn't know how or wouldn't even know it was a possibility. I mean, I haven't sorted out, you know, like, how would somebody do that? If I died, I don't think Mike knows about Facebook memorialisation or anything. So it must be even worse for people who have got like a technical one in the family and it's their account and then they're a muggle and not got a clue. Triply worse if they're getting the messages saying it's so-and-so's birthday. Unbelievable. You've no respect for Zuckerberg, don't use Facebook. No, he's a bit of a creep, I must admit. Just icky how it all started. And do you know, I would not be him, not for all the money in the world would I be him. You know, he's forever being dragged up in front of Congress, isn't he, over one thing and another. And you think, is it worth it? Life's too short for the grief. But he must get something out of it. Can't be doing with it. Oh, Anthony's a moderator for a heart patient support group. Don't bother with Twitter. Can't understand the point in TikTok. TikTok, I'm clueless. Clueless. I've only seen one video. And it was a guy. I'm trying to think. Maybe in his 40s. And basically what had happened was his truck had broken down on the way to work. So he gets his skateboard out. And he like holds on to a lorry. And then free skates to work. And he's, you know, recording this on TikTok. I'm like, what for? And the only other thing on TikTok was something we mentioned a while back. They found some bodies in a series of suitcases in Seattle. And TikTok had this game where it was one of these like Rhonda Byrne, The Secret. You manifest what you want in life. And this thing was like, we want... It was a group of people, I think there was about four of them. And it was like, well, what shall we wish for? Let's wish for, you know, an exciting discovery. And the next minute, they're on the banks of this river and they do actually find two dead bodies in a series of suitcases known as the TikTok murders. Unbelievable. But I thought, remind me not to bother with TikTok. So your mum, oh Simon, your mum misheard a friend saying someone had died and told everybody. The local mobile mechanic was dead. He was shocked at all the condolence cards and how badly it affected his business. It's not funny, is it? But it's funny. I'm sure I've told you about, you know, the wrong news. Incorrect news travels a million times faster than correct news. I swear it does. It was probably about 3 years ago now. As you know, I mean, we gave this up Christmas 2019. The you know that parish council thing where they're all arguing? Yeah, it was a bit like that. We did the count. And you were supposed to be on the count once every 5 to 6 weeks. You know, and it took, well, it only took us, I think our record was 44 minutes. But the first week we went, and the guy in charge was going to show us how to do it. 4 hours. I swear a chimpanzee on its own could have counted the thing faster than this guy. But that was our job. We did that once every 5 to 6 weeks. So this particular morning at church, the priest says, I've got some news that's going to shock you all. And he said that this lady had died. And there was literally sharp intakes of breath. And I said to Mike, do you know her? I said, don't think so. I said, no, me neither. But, you know, at that point, you don't know. But the rest of the congregation were like, oh, no. And she'd been a member of the parish, apparently, since it started, which had been like over 50 years. So we all said a prayer and everything, and he carried on with Mass. We then went back to do the count, which was in the afternoon. So about 6 hours had gone by at this stage. So we turned up and we were laughing over something, and he came in and he said, you know that lady that I said had died this morning? Do you know her? So I said, no, I don't think we do. He said, oh, you do? He said, you would if I described her. What are you doing, Lola? Why don't you nod off? Instead of which, you'll be an angel when your father comes in. He said, you would if I described her. So he described her, and he said, and she still, the reason that she wasn't at church anymore was that she'd moved into sheltered accommodation miles away. Otherwise, she would still come back. But she came back once a month to do the rosary circle, which was on a Wednesday night before Mass. They sat there for half an hour in canting the rosary. So he described her, and he said, she comes to do the rosary. I said, I do know the lady you mean. He said, I knew you would. So I said, oh, that's so sad. And he went, well, the thing is, she's not dead. Are you kidding me? He told the entire church she was dead. What happened was, the lady who did the piety stall, which is where you sell like cards and rosary beads and stuff, decided that she wanted to send her with sympathy card to the family. But she didn't know who to get in touch with. So she thought, if, seeing as though the lady could only have died within like the last 24 hours, if she rang the flat where the lady lived, maybe the family would be there cleaning the flat out. So she rings up. This is like 2 o'clock. And she'd been really upset that the whole parish centre was like, oh, she was such a lovely lady, you know. Anyway, so she decides she'll ring up and hopefully get one of the family. The woman herself answered the phone. And the piety shop lady nearly had a heart attack. She said, oh God, are you all right? She said, yeah, of course I'm all right. What do you mean? And so she told her, and luckily she had that kind of sense of humour, and she laughed like a drain. But like you're saying, by that stage, because he told us at the beginning of Mass, people had gone to the piety shop. The woman had sold out of with sympathy cards that had all gone to that address, because people wrote them out in the parish centre, and then one person said, I'll pop them in the box, save everybody walking. So the woman must have got about 60 with sympathy cards. It's not funny, is it? It's not. But luckily she had a sense of humour. So I said to the priest, how did that happen? You know, how on earth did you read that? He said, it was Bob. It was this guy. This guy's as deaf as a post. And somebody had died, but not her. So, but he told the priest, it was, I said, well, you should have checked, shouldn't you? Oh, I'm loving that, Simon, a resurrection party. Genius. They do look terrible on these things. I can't understand the pout myself. I mean, they even have filler, don't they, to actually look like that permanently. I know about lip filler. But that is called lip filler. But there was something going on the other day about Demi Moore. People saying she was unrecognisable, which, you know, it's so passive-aggressive sexism, that. And she gave this interview, and she said, basically, she'd had the filler removed, but you don't remove it, apparently. You have it, like, deactivated with more chemicals you inject into yourself. And I thought, is this lip filler we're talking? Because I don't know if we're talking about a face or if it's like breast implants. And I'm reading this article, and at no point did it explain what filler we were talking about. And I thought, do you know, for the uninitiated like me, obviously a natural beauty, don't have anything done like that. I mean, somebody said something about, it was this woman, and she had like a part-time job selling makeup for one of these like pyramid selling places. She collared me outside Mass one day, and she said, this was after she'd done a party where people were trying makeup and stuff. And one of the ladies there said to me, I've got no eyebrows. the shed I used to have, but they're so fine now. And this was natural. This wasn't something, some treatment she'd had done. She said, I wish mine looked like yours. And I burst out laughing and I said, I don't have anything done with mine. I don't do anything with them. That's how they come, you know, eyebrows. So this woman calls me after church, the makeup selling woman, and says, you really need your eyebrows threaded. And I looked at her, I said, threaded with what? I hadn't got a clue what she was talking about. Apparently they kind of stitch it up with some kind of cotton. I thought, life's too short. And she said, no, I'm serious. So I said, well, have you had yours done? She said, oh, yes. So I looked at her, made a show of like getting close up and looking. And I said, no, I won't bother because I wouldn't want to look like that. And walked off. I mean, it's the only way, because people saying things like that to somebody who's not quite as buoyant as I am, maybe buoyant's the word, that could really upset them. No wonder people have got mental health problems. If I wanted my eyebrows threaded, well, actually, it just stop the sentence there. If I ever say that, I'm seriously ill. Have me committed. Downright rude. Downright rude. Oh. Yes, it was Friends Reunited, wasn't it? Did you do that, Simon? Did you do the Friends Reunited thing? There are groups that will translate documents for genealogy research. That's so good, isn't it? I remember you saying, Kim, that people who live nearby might go and take pictures and stuff, which is just so brilliant. Love that. You were told to get 10 to 15 death certificates. You'd have enough for official notifications. I must admit, I think I got 10 for Mum, as she wasn't on social. Because everybody wanted an original one. If you got these, we call them certified copies here. There's only one death certificate and you get, it's filled in a book and you get half of it and that is the official death certificate. The other ones are certified copies. So basically it's a photocopy, but it's signed. The signature is original. Now, if somebody will take a general copy, you just photocopy that and you're done. But if they want a certified copy, you have to buy one. I think they're about £12 each. You know, and that soon adds up if you need 15, doesn't it? So what they do is, at the point you're registering the death, they will let you buy a copy for £3. So you're like, well, how many shall we get? We best get about 10, hadn't we, just in case. A lot of the places did take a photocopy in the end. Some places wanted to see a certified copy, a signed copy, but then took a photocopy of it. The bank were particularly good, to be honest. I think there was about £5,000 in Mum's checking account. And I said to Mike, you know, we have to go through probate for all of this to be sorted. And now, as it happens, we were okay to pay the funeral expenses. But, you know, when you're looking at a funeral, there's not much change out of £5,000 to £8,000, depending on how many are going. And to have £5,000 locked up in this account that you can't get access to, not only do you need the death certificate, but you'd need all the probate papers. So I went into the bank to say, you know, well, don't be doing anything else with this account and we need to cancel the credit cards and stuff. And she had a check of the account and she said, have you got a certified copy of the death certificate? We said, yeah. So she said, that's all right, I'll just give you the money then. And I thought, well, I could be anybody. Now, luckily, you know, obviously I wasn't, because they took the money out of this joint account with my mum and dad and then put it in my account. And obviously they knew who I was. But I thought that was a bit dicey without the paperwork. But they did, which was very, very useful. Otherwise, we'd still be arguing about it now. But you do need way more copies than you think you do. And like I said, she had no social to worry about or anything like that. The one thing they did want was a passport sent back. And I can't remember if we did that or not. We probably did. But I thought it was a funny thing to want back. It only had about a year left on it. But they wanted it back anyway. Very, very weird stuff. You downloaded it before Trump could ban it. Hello, Pete. How are you doing? How's the excitement building for House Move? An early night in bed with the Affinity Publisher book already. Good grief, Pete. There's the perfect night for you. Early night, marooned, Affinity Publisher book. Sounds great. Oh, Kim had a patient once came in with a mass on the side of her lower lip. Biopsy came back a silicon. Patient says, oh yes, I've had a chin implant. Oh my God. So had it moved? So everything I hear about stuff like that is like, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Simon, that's my thoughts exactly. Why do you shave the eyebrow off and then draw them back on? And there was this, in my day, when you did that, when you plucked her eyebrows, it's sort of 70s, 80s, were kind of, you drew back a very thin line. But I remember one lady who is at church and she works at a local school. And she said they went out for the day somewhere and the kids were told no makeup. She said, and so two of them came along. She said, with these eyebrows drawn on, and she said they looked like furry caterpillars. They were huge. She said, apparently it's all the rage. I said, is it? And, you know, at the time, it was obviously at the beginning of the trend. Anyway, after about 2-3 months, I started to see people with these eyebrows and they were just getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, honestly, they do look like, was it one of the Three Stooges who had huge eyebrows? And I thought, why are they doing this? What they were drawing back was not natural. There's no way you would have got away with saying, oh, you know, that's quite natural. So I'm with Simon. Why would you do that? But the other thing that got me was how they did it. Because I'm thinking, how do you know what? Do you know what I mean? When you're drawing it on, how do you get them the same? Because as people struggle enough. Well, I somehow answered my own question inadvertently, I swear. I found something like this on Amazon. I've no idea how I found this on Amazon either. Go have a look at that. You shave them off, Simon, and then you get a stencil that you stick to your head and draw them back on. Do you think any of these women could possibly pass an IQ test? There's something wrong with them. And silicon, that's just scary, Kim. I mean, can the silicon leak and cause problems? I know breast implants do. I had many cases of breast implants leaking all over the place. People ended up with it like in their spine and around the kidneys. And, you know, they were thinking that they had like cancer or something. And then it turned out to be this silicon on the loose. And you're thinking, well, why did you do it to yourself? Was it a paid-for service, Simon? I don't know. I thought you could have an account. I don't know what you got more if you paid for it. Oh, you get them signed and stamped. Oh, we might get them stamped. I can't remember. They were definitely signed anyway. But, you know, the price that you need, and I think we've still got them all in the drawer. I don't think anybody needs to know she's dead now. But you're better off having them than not. I've got a full set for her and a full set for Dad. That's the point, Simon. Doesn't asking for 10 copies look like you're celebrating it? I think they understand that everybody and their dog is going to ask you for a copy. Like, if stupid things like a bus pass. Well, she doesn't need it now. They did send a renewal a year after she died. And I wouldn't mind. The council had this thing called Tell Us Once. And the idea was that you told them that the person had died once and they told everybody concerned, including Greater Manchester Transport. Yeah, no. So they sent this thing that said, you know, you do need your card to get out and about. And I thought, that'll be interesting. No, I've still got them all. There they all go. The implant had moved. The patient had forgotten she'd had the implant. Oh, really? Night, Simon. It shouldn't cost money to die. No, it shouldn't. And I wonder how much of it is. They're so expensive, these things, particularly after the event. You know, if you buy five and find you need six, you know, you're going to pay four times the price, which, again, just criminal, isn't it? I don't know how much of that is to cover costs. I mean, I remember with Dad, it was fine. I took Mum down and it was all sorted.
What are you doing down there? What are you doing? Give it here.
Honestly, she's nibbling away down there. God knows what she's got. Cables, probably. I took Mum down, and that one went okay, to be honest. When we went with Mum, Mum died on the 23rd of December, and obviously nothing happens at Christmas. Nothing at all. So they said, if you can't, there's a time frame it's all got to be done by. And basically, if it wasn't done before Christmas, it wasn't going to be done after Christmas either. It wouldn't be done, I think it's 10 days. You got 10 days to do it. And she said, well, we're booked solid. You know, it's Christmas, people die. And I thought, well, I can't book an appointment till I've got the paperwork from the doctor. And now you're saying that you booked up anyway. Oh, I know it's 10 days, but don't worry about it. So anyway, I just about got it in, like on the 10th day. So she said, well, I can squeeze you in, you know, at like 2:30. So I said, fine, we'll be there. So we get down there. Not a soul in sight. And I said to Mike, is this their idea of busy? There literally was not a soul in sight. No one was in the queue before us. No one was in the office. No one was there queued afterwards. So this, I can squeeze you in. Between what? There was nobody there. So on the appointed hour, she opened the door and we went in and we sorted it all out. And then we came out and I'm looking around and I said to Mike, oh my God, if this is what busy looks like. Just absolutely ridiculous. Why would she say that? And I was also thinking, well, she's right. People do die. So where are they all? Registering the death. Maybe they should do it online these days. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Exactly, Pete. He's been dead here all day. It was them that said it. Maybe they just don't like work. Maybe they were trying to consolidate it down, you know, to like 30 minutes work in the afternoon. Anyway, once we got the paperwork, that was all right. Dad's paperwork, Mum had to go. I took her for half of it. You need paperwork at the hospital, don't you, Pete? For them to release the body. You have to go down and do something there. And that gives you the thing to go to the registrar with and tell them there. And obviously, because Dad died in hospital, not that any of the doctors wanted to sign to say he was dead, which we did find a bit weird because he was dead, but none of the doctors would sign to say he died because he'd only been there about 6 hours. But I thought, well, who else do you want to sign for it? It was ridiculous. So the registrar, whoever did half the paperwork at the hospital, said that they would give her an appointment first thing in the morning, which was fine. So we leave the house at the appointed hour. Plenty of time to get there. I swear there was. To find the world's worst traffic jam. Absolutely the world's worst traffic jam. And with them saying to Mum, well, you know, we'll give you the, I'll put you in between two other people. Mum was the kind who was like obsessed about getting there in plenty of time. We'd had to take Mayo with us. So he was creating on the back seat and she was creating in the passenger seat that we'll never get there. We'll never get there. So it was about 5 minutes to the appointment. And luckily, I was thinking, I'll find a back way. I will find a back way. And the hospital is a bugger to get to because there's this a brook, that tiny stream. I mean, literally, you could drive across it. It's that small. But it means that there are no roads, that it cuts the roads off. So you've got like the main road and that's it. So once I was past the pub on the main road, I took a left. And again, it was busy. But I started thinking, right, if I take a left and then a right and then a right further on, I might be able to cut out some of this traffic. But then I had to avoid the tram line and the canal. So I managed that, got over the other side of it and just burnt rubber. And I said, I'm going the back way. And it's a very weird road called Dobbinets Lane. I said, I'm going Dobbinets. And it's like really windy, goes through the countryside, past all the golf courses and stuff. Oh, and the cattery, which set the dog off. Every time he went past the cattery, he thought it was Christmas. But it's really, really rural. And I must have been doing about 70 on these lanes. I got her there just in time. Then she had to get out and then leg it through the hospital. Do you know, it's very inconvenient. Dying at any point is very inconvenient for the rest of us. They just seem to have hoops and hoops and hoops for you to jump through endlessly. And I think that day I must have jumped through absolutely all of them. So seems that we've agreed we could all give up social media. So maybe that scroll thing, not for us. Not for us. I must admit, if anyone sent me a DM on Twitter, I've not seen it. I was looking on the website and I thought, I can't even find the DMs. Life was so much simpler in 2008. Twitter was a lovely place to be. Pretty much the people you followed and the people that followed you were your tribe. And there wasn't the disagreements and politicking that goes on now. It was a lovely place to be. Like Slack is now. Not at all like Twitter is now. It's toxic. And that's not just with Trump and all that's going on in America. I mean, we've got our own Brexit thing going on here. That's been toxic for 5 years. So, yeah, it's not a nice place to be. I think people go there, vent, and then disappear. And then that leaves other people reading it. I mean, the things that are in my filter to filter out. No, but they always seem to get through. There always seems to be one that gets through. Anthony finds LinkedIn creepy. That's true, actually. You emailed a company and got a reply from someone. The next email was a request to be their friend on LinkedIn. I must admit, LinkedIn does freak me out a bit. In terms of, it'll be like so-and-so is looking for such and such. Like, you know, Brown, Brown and Brown are looking for a lawyer. And you're like, oh, well, that's okay. And then the next minute, like you're saying, you've got particularly the women, apparently. Now, this hasn't happened to me. I can't imagine why. But, you know, like you put a decent headshot up there and then you get like predator texts from blokes. And I'm like, really? Somebody sends women stuff like that? And then people wonder why I don't have any photos online. That's why. I don't need any grief. Enough grief on a daily basis without inviting it in. But people find that very strange as well. Do you not have a headshot? Yes, I've got many, many headshots. Oh, can I see one? No. What for? The main thing for that is, you know, when people put a call out to for you to give them an idea of what you could do at a seminar for them, you know, a conference. And it always says, and a 10x8 headshot. What for? Now, I can understand that at the point that you have been picked to do it. But if it's a prerequisite at the sort of suggestion stage, then basically, if you look like a supermodel, you stand far more chance of being picked. And I think you should be picked on your abilities and not what you look like. There's a programme in the UK on BBC News Channel. It's called Click. And it's their tech programme, about 30 minutes a week it is. And they have three people on there. One is a guy who's been doing it for years. He's been a TV presenter for years. But he was actually part of, I think it's the disabled basketball squad. He's a great guy. He's such a personality. But he's in a wheelchair. So one is black and two is in a wheelchair. So he's on there. There's another guy. I have no idea the backstory to this, but he has virtually no arms and no legs. I don't know if it was an accident or if he was born like that. And he's a presenter on there. And the other one is a girl. And I have no idea, again, with this, it could have been congenital. I've no idea. But her one eye is very much lower than the other and kind of twisted. And they are presenters on there. It doesn't matter what they look like. They are great at their job. But I've got a feeling, you know, for these people, oh, and we need a headshot. If the headshot that went in for these people that are on the TV, it would be like, yes, we don't want them. And I think that is awful. So if they ask for a headshot, the answer's no. One actually asked me a while back. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. They asked me for a CV, you know, a resume. And I looked at Mike. I said, what? So Mike said, well, that's what they do. You want the CV? And I said, just go to Google and type Elaine Giles. That's me. You know, I can't fake what's on Google, can I? I could make up a load of lies on a CV. I was absolutely incredulous that they wanted a CV. How prehistoric is that? I mean, because they're going to Google you anyway. See if there's any topless photos anywhere. So why don't you just Google me and be done? How very weird. People are weird. That's all I'll say. But I agree with you about LinkedIn. Yeah. You get, not me personally, but I have heard other people that I know say that they put, one of them put up a bikini shot and then wondered why she got lots and lots of people messaging her with suggestions, Anthony. So however bad it was, it could always have been worse. Oh. So Tracy says, the COVID-adapted death certifying process should be the default from now on. Oh, absolutely. It shows them what they can do, doesn't it? There's no need to have little people sat there with fountain pens and stamps. It is ludicrous. And then saying, you know, it's time consuming and that's what costs the money. There are better ways. P says, it's weird. I've got a mental picture of what some of you look like based on how you sound, but in reality, I've no idea. See, I find that quite liberating. That way, there's no prejudgment, is there? You just accept people for their thoughts and how they are and not how they look or what clothes they wear or anything else either. I actually do like that. Oh, he had polio as a kid. I did not know that. But, you know, I don't judge anyway. I'm just like, they're great. They are great. I mean, they've had people on there and I'm like, yeah, we could, you know, this one, no, get rid of them. There was one that did a video one time. It wasn't on the BBC. They just did this video. And I said to Mike, I can't listen to the voice. It sounded like nails on a blackboard. She must have been about 30 and she sounded about 3. And I said, there's something about it. But you can get used to anything. Anybody who would judge anybody by what they look like, what they wore, anything like that, I've got no time for. Can't be doing with that at all. As a children's TV presenter with only one hand, and apparently some parents complained because they thought it was upsetting for the children. Children are so adaptable. When a child is born, it doesn't have any prejudices. The prejudices come from the parents. Why do all these little girls want princess outfits? Because the parents want to buy them for them. Because in my day, I think we mentioned this before, the Lego stuff. There were girls on the front of Lego boxes in like a tank top. And now every girl has to be perfectly, a bit like that girl that died, JonBenet Ramsey. They have to be as perfect as she is or they're not getting on the cover of the box. And I just think, let children be children. Let them be whatever they want to be. I mean, my cousin was well into girl dolls. His dad would go mad. He would insist he had an Action Man. He didn't want an Action Man. He wanted a Pippa, one of these 6-inch dolls that dressed up in pink. I mean, it didn't harm him in any kind of way. He's a married man and quite happy now. What's the problem? Just let kids be. I mean, I wanted an Action Man. Could have just given it to me. I thought Action Men were far more exciting than Cindy dolls. But no, his dad went mad with him. Just let a kid be. A kid isn't looking at that and putting any sort of gender stereotype on it. It's just a toy and it's that toy that they want. All the toys I wanted were boys' toys. These days, they would be considered boys' toys. I wanted Lego. I wanted a Meccano set. I had a metalwork set. I wanted a trowel so I could bricky with my dad. But so what? Oh, if parents could just ease up on kids, there you go. I turned out okay. I think I did turn out okay. I think children would probably ask the question, why is he only got one hand or whatever? But if you just said it was an accident or he was born that way, we're all different. Life lesson learned, kid wouldn't be bothered, just carry on. It's parents that are weird. There's a lady who does the weather, and I think she's only got one arm. And there was also that girl that was on Strictly a couple of years ago. You know, why are they being hidden away? There's no need. But yes, if you've got to have your 10x8 headshot. Mind you, they never actually said it had to be of yourself. I think there was an understanding it would be, but you know, I could have sent somebody else's in. LinkedIn always pesters you to put up a photo and it's still blank. Well, I just use my avatar, Tracy. And there was one service, I can't remember, it wasn't LinkedIn, which is bizarre. It said, like, is this really you? It doesn't look like a head. And I thought, well, you know, what if there was something where I did only have one eye or something? Would you complain about that as well? I could be a Burns victim for all you know. Just shut up and take the avatar. I'm obviously Melanie Sykes in her prime. Oh, Pete. Way better than that, I'll tell you that. Just put up a blank thing. In fact, Tracy, if you took a screenshot of just the blank head, but you uploaded it, that'd stop the masking. And it'd look exactly the same. Your Snow White dressed youngest was about three. Collection of Action Men. Oh, how cute. And Anthony's Facebook profile picture is Charlie, the last Westie. I don't think it matters whether they see each other or not. And the comments that people make, oh my God, aren't people rude? So I take that out of the equation entirely. I have actually had messages on YouTube that say, like, I love your voice, can I have a photo? And I just absolutely just roll on the floor. And I think, now, who could I send them a picture of? Oh, I know, grot bags. I'm not going there. Just not going there. A blank screenshot of LinkedIn, brilliant. Well, it'll stop them asking, won't it, Tracy? I do think that is ridiculous. I mean, you can see if you've got an image up there. And if you haven't, then there might be a reason that you don't. And until they make it a safe place where, I mean, they can surely tell the context of a DM that's basically, you know, can you send me a pair of your used knickers? That was one that I got. Not me personally, but from a friend. And I said, I can't believe that. You know, did it not get caught on the way in? She said, no. And the guy keeps doing it. She'd blocked him and all sorts, and he could still send messages. And I said, what is wrong with these people? And why don't LinkedIn do something about it? Because that's encouraging it if they don't. But there is no policing of it, unfortunately. There you go. Did you watch Grot Bags, Pete? I used to love Grot Bags. Thought she was fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. And the other one, Bella Emberg. Oh, now, what was the character she played? Was it Blunder Woman? I thought she was brilliant. Absolutely fabulous. Oh, my youth. My happy, happy youth. She was with Ross Abbott, wasn't it? And that guy who's still about but doesn't do comedy anymore. The one who's an actor. Oh, what was his name? Used to be married to Amanda Holden, I think. I'd forgotten that till the other day. What's Grot Bags? Have you not heard of Grot Bags? Have you never seen Grot Bags? She's fabulous. Let me get you a picture of Grot Bags. I think it was in a kids programme. She died not long ago, actually. About a year ago, maybe. And her name, Carol. She was fabulous. I can't remember what the programme was, though. I don't think the programme was called Grot Bags. But the character was. She was amazing. There we go. Up it toddles. Where's my chat gone? There's my chat. No, it wasn't him. The blonde one. Les Dennis. That's the fella. Les Dennis. There we go. That's Grot Bags. And where's Bella Emberg? Absolutely fantastic again. Bella Emberg. And there you go, Blunder Woman. Oh, but she was so lovely. Oh, no, you can't see the whole outfit. There's the whole outfit. Oh, absolutely brilliant. But, you know, kids were watching this and they were getting... We didn't have half the body image problems that we've got now. People just accepted it. And yes, they would have laughed. But, you know, these people were strong enough to take it. And it wasn't as nasty as it is now. I mean, now, if you've got like half a pound to lose, oh my God. I really don't get it. I don't. Or I need my eyebrows drawing on with those stencily things. Wouldn't it just be faster to leave your eyebrows alone? Oh, you've not heard of Grot Bags? Well, my word. There was a Grot Bags spin-off. Did I miss that? Love Grot Bags. Absolutely fabulous. I wish I could remember what the programme was. I thought, maybe, yeah, I guess it could have been Grot Bags. I thought she was on another programme, I must admit. Carol Lee Scott, that was the one. Was it actually called grot bags? Yes, it was. It was. I did not know that. What year is it? 91, 92 and 93. But she was fantastic. And she looked nothing like that in real life. Nothing at all. We got a picture of her. Not many. Not donned up, to be honest. Is that one there? There we go. Let's take that one. But she was lovely. Whenever she was interviewed in that, she was always such a fantastic, fantastic person. Kids need to learn that, not to be picking at each other for one thing or another. One thing I did, hang on, is that link working? Let me try and get that. There it is. It's that one. Let me copy that link. Right, did that link come through or not? It's getting finicky with me now. That's the one of her herself. With the cardboard cut out by the look of it. But, you know, that talk, kids, it wasn't what it looked like. But we don't have much of that today, do we? So I will be all mysterious. But you can imagine my eyebrows do not look like that. My eyebrows look like they need threading, if anybody knows what that was. You would have hated anybody to be near Emu. Oh, she probably was, wasn't she? He fell off the roof watching a United match, you know. Honestly, that's not a joke. He had a satellite dish on the roof and the United match was on and he couldn't see it properly. So he climbed onto the roof to adjust the satellite dish and fell off and died. Which was why the other week when it snowed the night of that match and the guy who was doing the emceeing at the Munich thing, Rev John, said I was leaning out the window with a brush. I said, don't have him leaning out the window with a brush. He's trying to clean the satellite dish. Oh, swashbuckle. Now, see, you are going to be the expert in this, Pete, aren't you? I am not going to be the expert in this. Let me have a look at swashbuckle. I have a picture. Oh, no, that thing is, look at the pictures. If you've seen it, look at the pictures. My, the teeth greet you, don't they? Everybody's got day-glow white teeth these days. That's another thing. Some people don't in real life, but apparently on the TV they do. Wow, teeth. I shall have to have a look at that one. Looks fun. I'm reckoning Pete will remember Captain Pugwash and his merry band. That's another one like that. Although that was more cartoon. More cartoony, wasn't it? I believe so, Pete. Famous last words. He's sad though. I don't think he was that old, wasn't he, in his early 60s? Something like that. Anyway, Mike is finishing his thing in another hour and 11 minutes. So that's how I actually calculated. I think it's 64 hours we've done in the last 4 days. But I'll calculate it all properly for the week at Mount Barrett's headquarters. But I have it on good authority. He will be back with us tomorrow night. Excellent. Oh, Tracy loved Captain Pugwash. I must admit, clangers were my favourite. Mm. Leave the cabin boy alone, Pete. But like I say, Mike will be back with us tomorrow. Lola has finally settled down, like predicted, 8 o'clock. She's just giddy as anything at 7 o'clock. It could have been she didn't have enough treats. But I gave her the last one before the show. And when I went to the drawer, there are no more. So she'll be having words with her father later about that. And his inability to look after her every whim. Oh, even Tracy's mum liked the clangers. My mum didn't, Tracy. She didn't like the sound that the whistle made, the Swanee whistle. So when we went on holiday and Dad bought me one, you can imagine how well that went down. You can play with it, but not blow it, she said. Story of my life. And on that thought, I will say good night from me. I will say good night from Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.